Moving back to Matthew chapter 6, reading for us verses 1 through 8, would you please listen again to the Lord's word? Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Amen. Please be seated, friends. Again, Lord, we come to you thanking you for your faithfulness to us, and I pray and ask your blessing upon your word going forward at this time, that you will help me be faithful and help these your people to likewise be faithful, one to preach your word and one to receive your word. Father, that all of us together, our hearts would be quiet within us, and that, Lord, we would listen. And we pray that you would make us a people of prayer. Thank you again. We commit ourselves to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. We began 2 weeks ago looking at the matter of prayer as our Lord addressed it in the Sermon on the Mount. And I started off with that phrase, remember, after the Parkland shooting took place. And we hear people say, you're in our thoughts and prayers. Politicians will say this, which I actually think is a very gracious and a very proper response. And yet, there's been increasingly so an outcry against that phrase, you're in our thoughts and prayers, a phrase that was meant to grant assurance and comfort but has been taken or misunderstood to mean that we're not going to do anything about these things, as if to say when somebody says my thoughts and prayers are with you, they might as well just say I really could care less about you, so I'll just say my thoughts and prayers are with you. It's what you would do, I suppose, in some people's minds, when you want to brush aside a person and their problems. Just say, I'll pray for you. That's the world's attitude towards prayer. But that is not the Scripture's teaching on it, and that's why we read this morning from 1 Kings 18. Prayer is not ineffectual. Read it in James. It's not the Scripture's teaching on it, and it must not be the attitude of the Lord's people on prayer. I'm a nut. You probably can tell I'm a little bit distracted. I'm very distracted. The presbytery was, felt like I just spent a week in the asylum. And really, I'm torn up over many things. And if I ever thought that there was a time for prayer, of course, I've always believed, now's the time to pray. Sometimes you see such things that you go, Lord, unless you step in and do something, there is nothing we can do. I think the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is probably one of the best denominations on the planet. I kid you not. But even the best systems, if sin gets a foothold in anyone's heart, even the best systems don't work very well, do they? Look at our government. It's a great government structure. You ever ask yourself, what's going on? You should. And so nothing is more akin to a satanic deception than this thought that prayer really doesn't accomplish anything. And in the Lord's church, when the Lord instructs us to pray, as we've pointed out before, this is not, here's a wholesome activity for you to do on a Wednesday night. Praying is the work of the church. It's what we're called to do. It's not an empty exercise in self-discipline and self-denial. It is how the people of God engage in battle. And friends, are you watching the world burning? Are you seeing our country and what is going on? And are you aware of what's going on in the church? And will you remain silent when it comes to prayer? We shouldn't. We want to continue to look down, to move through rather this passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 6 on the subject of prayer, remembering this, friends, that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He is addressing the practice of righteousness, the outworking of imputed righteousness. His people are to be a practicing people. The people of God are not supposed to be cheap talkers, but rather they are to live out their faith at any and all costs. The leaders of the day, the scribes and Pharisees, Jesus repeatedly would call them hypocrites, that is, actors. And they're not unlike many people who we see today in the Lord's church. Prayer is one of those good works that the Lord calls us to be about. That's you're supposed to lump that in. But providing a cup of cold water, that's a good work. Going an extra mile, that's a good work. Praying, that's a good work. It's what the Lord calls us to. And yet, it's the thing we resort to last. Because I think fundamentally we believe prayer really doesn't accomplish anything. And that's a sad state of affairs for the church. It has always been historically, in my experience, since I've been born, prayer meetings are the least attended things in a church. And if you want people to come to prayer meeting, you got to offer them some meat or some bread or some pie. And then people will come, right? Because prayer in itself doesn't have any real validity. We got to coax people in to do the very thing the Lord Jesus says was a good work that his people should be engaged in. Notice, it's right here in this list of things: giving to the poor, fasting, and prayer. The mere fact that he is addressing it, and the mere fact that he addresses so much of this chapter is addressing prayer, tells us that the Lord Jesus himself viewed it as a very important matter for the Lord's people to be involved in. And I wonder sometimes, what's it going to take for the Lord's people to finally get on their knees and pray? We're going to have to be taken over by another country? You know what happens is you get desperate enough and then you fall on your knees in prayer, don't you? All of a sudden, I don't have the money to pay my bills. Ooh, we better pray about this. We're called to pray. Jesus warns his disciples, beware, he says in verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. We are to be warned. We are to be on the alert for ourselves that we do not imitate the shallow, false righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. The Lord is not fooled. You can fool people. You can fool this pastor. I taught in high school, a Christian high school, and the children were cheating. Someone told me, hey, your students are cheating. And I just said, look, if you're cheating, that's on you. If I catch you, you're in trouble. But you know what? I'm not going to police you. If you cheat, that's on you, and you will answer to God. I said, let me reassure you, it is no big deal. It is no, you deserve no reward if you deceive me. I said, that's not to your credit. I said, because I'll trust you. You tell me something, I'll believe you. So it's no, I mean, you can fool the pastor, but you cannot fool God. You can fool other people, but you cannot fool the Lord. And I don't know how else to deal with people other than to say this. I don't know how else to deal with this on at our presbytery level or in any other level. You will answer to the Lord. And I will answer to the Lord. And I will stand before the Lord, and I will give an account for every word and every thought and every action and every inaction that I've ever done. I will answer to the Lord. All I know is that if I want to be where the Lord is, I must have a clear conscience. I must have clean hands. And that's you too. That's what the Lord calls us to. But without that integrity, and if you're going to go the path of the hypocrite and the way of the religion of the world, you can fool a lot of people. And the scribes and Pharisees fooled a lot of people. And they offered up long prayers on street corners. And they fooled a lot of people. And they went to their beds at night feeling really good about themselves. But they didn't fool the Lord. Nor will we. We have to be very careful. The Lord sees what is in the heart, what is done in the dark, and he will expose it. So my encouragement to you and my exhortation to you and for myself is this: turn away from your sin and seek the washing of that sin in the blood of the Lord Jesus before it's too late, friends. We must walk in integrity before the Lord. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 20. For I say to you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So prayer. We are dealing with the subject of prayer, and we ought to be praying. And we started looking at this 2 weeks ago in verse 5. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites. And we didn't quite get through this, but I would encourage you, not because I think it's a fantastic sermon, but because I think it's a worthwhile sermon to be heard. If you go to sermonaudio.com, you can pull up that first half of the sermon of the necessity and the importance of prayer. It is necessary, and it is important, and it is effective for Christians to pray. And therefore, it matters that we come to the Lord, and it matters why we come to the Lord. If you would turn over to Ephesians chapter 6 as we prepare to launch into this next portion of Scripture, I want to remind you again of the importance of prayer by simply reading Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. After Paul talks about the armor of God and putting it on, notice the offensive weaponry for the advancing of the kingdom is here. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Prayer is important. And if we were to ask ourselves, why don't we see greater work going on in the United States? Do I need to answer that? Probably it's because the Lord's people aren't praying. Where do we go if we want hope? Who's the one who changes the hearts of man? Who's the one who can make a politician an honest politician? The Lord. Have you ever seen someone touched by God whose heart was changed? You know what I've seen? I've seen guys who were drunkards be the most sober-minded men. I've seen people who are thieves start to become givers. I've seen liars throw themselves under the bus because they would rather tell the truth and suffer consequence than get away with a lie. That's the work of the Lord. And some demons only come out by prayer. And we are under a time of great deception in our land. And the church, the Lord's people, I fear, have bought into that lie that prayer doesn't really work. It does. And you must come and you must pray. It matters now. It matters that we come to the Lord in prayer, and it matters how we pray. Listen again to the scriptures. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. How we pray is tied to why we pray. Am I praying to be heard by God, or am I praying to be seen by men? Let me ask you that again. Are you praying, when you pray, are you praying in order to be heard by God, or are you praying to be seen by men? Does the Lord hear the prayer of a hypocrite? Does the prayer offered up hypocritically receive answer from the Lord? Jesus' instruction is to us that we ought to pray, when we pray, we ought to pray to be heard by the Lord alone. Therefore, we pray in secret, and we pray as servants, and we pray in order to please him, and we pray that he would be glorified. Prayer is the business that the Lord has called us to. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Because prayer is vital to true religion and true piety, right? What's a Christian? What does a Christian do? What are the activities that Christians give themselves to? Prayer is one of those things the Lord calls us to, along with looking after the poor and speaking up for those who have no voices and caring for other people, showing compassion. These are some of the things the Lord has called us to. Because prayer is a vital part of true religion and piety, he contrasts the hypocrisy of the leaders of the day with how true prayer is to be practiced. Consider the habit of the hypocrite. They love to stand, said Jesus, and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Now, Jesus himself is not condemning prayer in a public place. I think that's important to understand. But he is condemning ill-motivated prayer, the prayer that is offered only in public and that's never engaged in private. You see, the issue here is not that they're praying in public, it's that they only pray in public. They're only in it for what people, what manipulation, what picture they can create or image they can create in a person's mind. If they see me out there praying, oh, what a godly man, look at his prayer. Notice they stand on the street corner. That means there's an intersection. How do I get the most bang for my buck? I stand in the place where the most people can see me. The implication is that they're not interested in prayer in private. They're interested in prayer in public for the praises it garners from men. Prayer was offered in the temple. This is how we know that Jesus is not condemning prayer in public. Prayer was offered in the temple. The temple was called a house of prayer. The disciples, we are told, gathered together, and they would pray together in groups. We are told in Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, that the early disciples were gathered together, 120 in all, were gathering together to pray. We find groups of prayer taking place, and people getting together in groups to pray in Acts chapter 12 as well. What Jesus is condemning and warning you and I to be careful of is doing our righteous deeds, our merciful deeds, or our praying so that we may be seen by men. The perfect example of this is found in Luke chapter 18, verse 9 and following, the Pharisee and the tax collector. Right? The tax collector, some distance away, doesn't even lift his head. He's beating his breast. The Pharisee is very proud of himself. He stands up in front of everyone. And he uses his most dignified voice. God, I thank thee that I'm not like other sinners, like other people. I fast, I pray, I tithe. Why was he doing it? So that everyone could be impressed with how spiritual he is. And the other man is in the background, not even willing to lift his head, beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Not comparing himself to anyone, not holding himself up as an example, but understanding that he deserved the wrath and curse of God. Jesus says of him, that man, that tax collector, went away justified. But not the Pharisee. He's just a liar. He's a faker. As we say, he's a poser. Posing as someone who's righteous but who wasn't. And we see this sort of thing. World Magazine, several years back, posted an article on politicians using faith to garner votes. And we've seen it round two as well. They all go to Jerusalem and they stand by the Wailing Wall, right? What a place of seclusion. While 100 million cameras are all focused on you and you're standing there praying at the Wailing Wall. What spiritual people. Gee, look at them praying so earnestly. What do they do when there are no cameras around? Jesus condemns show, friends. He condemns show. This church will be measured by its willingness to get on its knees and fight. That's where the impact is going to come in our culture. Truly, it's not going to come from this guy in the pulpit for being eloquent or having great illustrations. And it's not going to come from our praise band, because we don't have one. We do have a killer pianist, though. You see this? You're hoping that maybe I'm going to draw people in? You better think again. Our work is the work of prayer. That's how this church is going to grow. That's how this group is going to turn the world on its head, which it needs to happen. We must be a people of prayer, and it shouldn't be only when people are looking. The hard work of ministry, of which all of us are called to, is done before we come to church and after we come to church, and it takes place in our cars as we're driving those blessed long distances. We have quiet time in the car to be able to converse with the Lord and to bring our concerns. It happens in the 3 a.m. hour when we're laying in bed and we can't sleep. The Lord's calling you to a prayer meeting. That's when it happens. That's the work of piety, is praying when nobody else is looking. These actors would ply their trade wherever they might get a crowd, in a synagogue or a busy street corner. Jesus said they had their reward from men. Does the Lord hear those prayers? Does he regard them and honor them who do not seek to honor him? The answer, he does not. He does not. That's startling, isn't it? You know why that's startling? Because we've treated God like consumers. I pop my 25 cents or my $1.50 now into the vending machine, and out I get a candy bar. And that's the way we approach God. I'm going to shoot up a prayer to him, and he's going to answer it. And yet you're forgetting, God's not a vending machine. We can't approach him that way. Look at Isaiah 58. I'll take you to just a couple of passages of scripture here. Isaiah 58, 3 and 4. Why have we fasted and you do not see? Can't you tell we're so spiritual and you're not even listening to us now? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. So they're going through the motions, but their heart is far away from the Lord. They're actually thinking about, what am I going to get out of these people? How am I going to get them to work better for me? And then they fast and pray, and God says, I don't listen to that kind of prayer. I don't listen to that. Turn over to Malachi, right before Matthew. Chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. Your words have been arrogant against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his charge and that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts? We've done all these things, and God, you're still not even answering our prayers. Yeah, you know why? You're a bunch of hypocrites. You're playing games with God. He doesn't hear that kind of praying. The praying the Lord wants, friends, comes from a heart that is truly sick over its sin, hates its sin, and is saying, Jesus, help me. And then you know how you know a person is really sincere about something? Because when they mess up, they go to cleanup. That's how you know. When a person is really, what do we see with Zacchaeus? The wee little man, remember him, the tax collector? Jesus looks up into that tree and sees Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today. And what does Zacchaeus say? Lord, if I've stolen anything, I'm giving back. I think it was fourfold of everything I've taken. That's repentance. That's how we know Zacchaeus, that unclean little tax collector, that's how we know he was touched by the grace of God. Because all of a sudden, following Jesus and obedience to Jesus was more important than his money. You see? That's pretty staggering, isn't it? That's repentance. The Lord is not fooled, friends, by hypocrisy. He does not regard the prayers of those whose hearts are not humble before him. If you cling to your sin, don't wonder and don't be surprised that the Lord doesn't answer your prayers. What did we learn in the men's group? We learned that the men were called to raise up holy hands without contention, right, in prayer. The men of the church are to be the men who lead the congregation in prayer, raising up holy hands without wrath and dissensions, because the Lord does not hear the prayers of his people who are playing the hypocrite. You can fool me, but you cannot fool God. Friends, is there sin in the camp? Is there sin that needs to be repented of on your part? I would urge you, deal with your sin. Deal with it. Listen to me. There is forgiveness. There's not a single one of us in this room here. Don't be deceived into thinking that you are alone. Every one of us has some skeleton or two or ten in our closets. Every one of us. We're not the community of the perfect. We're the community of the redeemed. Those who had to be bought back from sin. This is why Jesus Christ has come. So if there is sin in your life that has not gone unrepentant, if there is sin that you are clinging to and you are thinking, well, I can go through the motions of prayer, but it doesn't matter how I live, you've got another thing coming and your prayers are not being heard, and the prayers you are offering, you are doing as a charlatan. Because those who come to the Lord in prayer are acknowledging, I need the Lord. So why does it surprise you that you need the Lord when, in fact, you really need the Lord? You should be praying. Praying without hypocrisy. James says the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. What about the prayer of the hypocrite? It doesn't accomplish anything except to deceive the person that he's okay when he's not. The practice of the Christian. But you, says Jesus, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Notice, friends, the citizens of the Lord's kingdom are mindful of an audience of one. It makes no difference to them whether there are people present or not. God himself is present, and to him alone they pray. Jesus is making here a point of contrast. The hypocrite loves publicity. The Lord's child goes out of his way to avoid it. Right? Remember, when doing good works, your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is doing. It's the same way in prayer. I mean, we pray in public, and this is good, but we shouldn't only be praying in public. That every one of you, while we come together and we pray at the dinner table, we pray with our children, and then when we're standing in the shower, we're praying because we're alone. We're driving in a car and we're praying because we're alone. We're sneaking off into the back bedroom to pray just because I need to talk to the Lord. You see, that's the Christian. That's what Jesus is talking about. My truth, my religion, the things I call my disciples to are not a mere form of things, but a substantive type of Christianity where we're actually engaged because God is who God is. We're engaged in prayer before him. So Jesus says, go into your inner room, close your door. Again, it's not a command that you have to have a prayer closet. For in that day, many folks only had one-room houses. But the idea is don't do it to be seen. Do it because you know you need it. Do it because the Lord is who he is. Pray in secret. You're not to put on spiritual shows. Why? Because you are praying to your Father. You're not praying for men to see you, but you are praying for God to hear. Again, he says, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. Father, the word Father implies a lot, doesn't it? Fathers are to be approachable. Their children come to them. I know our experience is sometimes different than that in this world. Approach my dad while he's working? No, I don't think I will. Right? But really, the term father should be, it should conjure up in our minds. And if it doesn't, friends, then lean on the scriptures and not on your own understanding. A father is somebody you should be able to bother at any time of the day. And he wraps his arms around you and says, what can I do? How can I help you? That's what a father's supposed to be. Fathers, when your children come to you, wrap them up in your arms. You know what I mean. Bring them close. Don't turn them away. And also notice that Father rules out us praying to saints and angels and to eerie, spooky Eastern forces. Father is our God, a God who welcomes us coming. You are his child. In Christ you have been adopted. We have this relationship. Go to him. Talk to him. He is approachable. He hears, he cares, and he is able to answer the prayer any way he wants. He raises the dead. He heals the lame. He makes the blind to receive sight. What is there that our God can't do? And so bring your prayers to him in private, calling out to your Father who loves you and gave his Son for you. Call out to him, and he will answer your prayer. He will either answer it the way you have asked it, he will either say, no, I've got something better, or he will answer it the way you asked it and say, but not now. Do you trust him? Do you believe prayer works? Then you should go to him in prayer. Pray in secret, because our Father is in secret. Friends, true piety, true righteousness, true righteous living is an overflow of a grateful heart and expresses itself to the Lord of grace. So I do not wait until I am around people at church or at work or in Sunday school. I pray in secret too, because I know that the Lord is there too, and there is no place I can go where I am out from under his notice of me. Again, Hebrews 4:13 says, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And last, friends, we pray in hope of the Lord's abundant grace to us. We're not like the hypocrites. We're not doing it in public, but in private, seeking the Lord because we feel our need of him. And we pray knowing that he does hear our prayers. And we're told by Jesus, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I pointed this out a couple of weeks back, but I ask it again. What kind of a reward does a father have to give to a child who is only doing what he ought to be doing? The big goose egg. Jesus could have said, when you pray, go into your inner room because I said so. Or when you pray, go into your inner room and do it because you will displease your heavenly Father if you don't. He simply says, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Friends, I don't understand it other than to know this, that I'm completely unworthy to be heard. And because of Christ Jesus, my Savior, I have access to the throne of grace. And even when, Romans 8, even when I don't know how to pray and my prayers are nothing more than the Lord hears even those kinds of prayers. And it pleases him to give grace upon grace to his people. And the heart that seeks first his kingdom and his righteousness has all we need now. And on top of it all, we have reward in the kingdom to come. Because we did not pray for man's praise, our prayers were not empty and worthless and meaningless prayers, but because we prayed and we sought the glory of God alone, we sought his will and his face and his recognition for his name alone in this world. What are you facing right now in your life? What are those impossible things that you say, I can't do anything about this? Have you taken it to the Lord in prayer? What are the issues facing our country? The bitter divide that has taken place. What are the idols in our land that our country is falling prey to and that even the Lord's people are falling prey to? Have you prayed and taken these things to the Lord? Who are the unconverted loved ones in your family that you say they would never listen to this? Have you prayed for them? Have you sought for their welfare before the throne of grace? Do you see this? Friends, this is a good work that we're called to do. A good work, a good battle that we're called to engage in. Not like the hypocrites, not just when it's going to get accolades from men, but when we know we can be heard by the Holy One of Israel, then the Lord's people pray, and the Lord hears, and the Lord rewards. Let's
Let's pray.
Our Father, we thank you again for this day. And for your word, which is a constant source, a constant reminder to us of how foolish we are when we think that prayer doesn't matter and that prayer doesn't count. Forgive us, Lord, for being a prayerless people. And I ask, Lord, that you would please write it upon our hearts, especially as we see the days growing darker and we see the politics and the evil and the greed and the murder going on from hearts. As we see these things, Lord, we are reminded that there is not anything we can do to change the hearts of men. We thank you for this reminder. We ask, Lord, that we would be a people of prayer, and that we would be a people who will seek you in the morning and in the evening. We'll be a people who will seek you in private and in public. We'll be a people whose hands, though empty, you would fill. I pray, Father, that we would be kept from stumbling over prayer as though it's complicated. We thank you, O Father, to know that there is nothing we could do to even approach your majesty. But you hear us because of your kindness, and you hear us because we're your children, and you hear us because you are our Father. Hear us now, we pray, and send revival upon your church. Pour out your Spirit upon us and help us. Deliver us and cause your church to rise up and be a faithful witness, a beautiful bride who speaks of your glories, that the fullness of the nations might come in. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.